Looking for a place to live is pretty hard sometimes. There's nothing particularly enjoyable about going from place to place, being disappointed by either the owner of the apartment, the neighborhood it's in, or even the distracting neighbors who love to play their music at maximum volume at 1 a.m. Yeah, it's a hassle looking for a decent place to live. That's what I experienced, at least, when looking for my first apartment a while ago. I was about 22 years old. I had very little money, but I had high expectations for the place. I was looking on Craigslist one night, while I was still at my parents' house, and I stumbled upon this amazing one-bedroom apartment. "Are you freaking kidding me?" I said to myself, because I just couldn't believe my eyes. The place looked great. I didn't even care about the neighborhood or any of these aspects. I saw that the rent was pretty low, and the furniture and everything looked good. I mean, it had a lot of taste. I tried to call the owner, but he didn't respond. I guess he was sleeping because it was almost 11 p.m. But I had to get in contact with him as soon as possible. The place might be gone in the morning, and I didn't want to take any chances. "This is where I'm going to live," I said to myself again before leaving the owner a text saying that I am interested in renting the apartment right away and I would pay cash. I was so excited that I didn't manage to get any sleep that night. I already imagined myself on the couch in the living room playing on my PS4 on that big screen smart TV that it had. The next morning, I got a text at around 7 a.m. "Hey, the place is still available. If you want to check it out, I'll be here from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. the text said. I immediately replied, telling the guy that I most definitely want to come see it. For the remainder of the time, I didn't do anything except pack and tell my mom and dad about the apartment. They also liked it, saying that it looked better furnished than their house and that I should do anything to get it. It was a steal, the rent being so low. Time went by slowly. At around 3:50 p.m., I was in front of the building. It didn't look like much, but hey, I didn't care at all. I decided to look around for 10 to 15 minutes so that the owner won't think I'm that desperate in getting the apartment, even though I was. I killed a little bit more time and then I went in. As I walked up the stairs towards the second floor of the building, my heart started pounding in my chest. Step by step, I got more excited, and images of me enjoying the apartment popped into my head. Finally, I arrived at the door. The apartment was number 7, being the second one on the second floor. My lucky number. I took a deep breath. "Okay, this is it. I hope it's just like the pictures," I said to myself before knocking on the door. No one answered. So I knocked again, and then I did it again for a couple of seconds. No one answered. My excitement slowly started to go down. I knew this was some sort of sham. It was too good to be true, I told myself before deciding to go down the stairs and head home. But after the first step I took, my phone buzzed. It was a text message from the owner. "Hey, I'm sorry, but I'm going to be a little late. I'll be there in about an hour. Thanks," it said. I didn't like that I had to wait an entire hour, but at least the guy was going to show up, and I didn't come here for nothing. The hallway was pretty big, and I had a window to look out from while I waited. 10 minutes went by, and I got sick of watching cars go by, so I took out my phone and started scrolling through Instagram. As I was watching a cute video with two cats, a powerful noise got my attention. It sounded like something heavy fell on the floor, but there wasn't anything around me, so I turned my attention to the window. Maybe something was happening on the street. As I did that, another noise startled me, but there was nothing outside, only cars driving by, no construction site or anything. After the third time I heard the noise, I figured out that it came from the apartment adjacent to the one I was going to rent. So it had to be a catch. I'll have noisy neighbors. Well, I can live with that, I said to myself before returning my gaze to my phone. After a couple of seconds, I heard someone screaming. It was like the person was yelling actually at someone, but I didn't hear another voice. "Do what I say," the person said before the noise of broken glass made me take two steps back. "What's going on in there?" I said to myself. Being a curious person, I put my phone in my pocket and headed towards the door so I could hear what was going on. "You stupid piece of shit," I heard. It was a woman's voice yelling. Then I could hear a second voice. "Ah!" It sounded like a man in pain. Then he screamed in agony. "Please stop, please," he yelled. Everything was getting pretty creepy. I mean, I could tolerate loud neighbors, but this was just something else. It seemed like someone was getting hurt in there. I decided to do something about it. So I tried to open the door. To my surprise, it was open. It slowly creaked when I pushed it. The apartment was dark. All the lights were off. "Hello?" I said while walking inside, fearful of what could happen or what was going on. "Stay still," I could hear. The voice came from another room. "Ah, please, I beg you, stop," the other voice said. My heart pounded again, but not from excitement. I was scared of the entire situation, and I had my phone in my hand, ready to call 911. "Hello? Is everything okay here? I heard the commotion and I thought I'd check on you guys," I said. Suddenly, a door opened. It was from the bedroom, and out of it, a small woman came. I didn't clearly see her in the dark. "Get out of here! I'll call the cops! You have no right to come in here," she said before pushing me. "Okay, sorry, I wanted to make sure everything's okay," I told her. "Yeah, I'm fine. Now go away," she said. I turned around to go to the door, and as I approached the light in the hallway, I saw that I had bloodstains on my shirt. The woman pushed me away, and it rubbed off from her hands. I didn't say anything about that, and I gently closed the door. She locked it behind me. I immediately called the cops and reported some strange activity. They came, and as soon as they saw the blood on my shirt, they went into the apartment. What I saw was gruesome. The woman had a man tied to a table. The man had cuts all over his body, and blood was draining into some jars on the floor. She was taken into custody immediately, but the guy unfortunately died right there as they took him out of the apartment. It was a scene I will never forget for as long as I live. At that moment, I ran down the stairs and went home. I forgot all about the apartment and didn't want anything to do with that building ever again.
Did you enjoy the first story? If you did, I would love it if you would subscribe to the channel. Oh, if you want your broccoli to be served fresh, then don't forget to hit the bell icon. Keep munching.
The door to my apartment caught on something, and I had to forcefully push my way in. It caught on the end of the rug. My new apartment was small, but I liked it. I didn't have to worry about cleaning since there wasn't much room. It had just one room and bathroom, which made sense since I was the only one living there. I was trying to find my own path after college. My dream was to be a successful movie star. I had done a couple of movies, but I was usually given minor roles. I believed I would find the perfect casting that would put me out there. I finished setting things up in my apartment and went on Craigslist to get myself a laptop before I spent my money on something else. I picked one that had all the specifications I wanted and wasn't too costly. The seller and I agreed to meet at the bus stop not far from my apartment. "Are you Phoebe, the girl who's buying a laptop?" I looked at the girl that was talking to me. "Yeah," I replied. She was dressed in black clothes and had piercings on her face. Two on her eyebrows, one on her nose, and several on her ears. To say she looked shady would be an understatement. "Got the cash?" I nodded and brought it out. She handed me the laptop in a case and I gave her the money. She didn't say anything else and she walked away from me. I searched for jobs online with my new laptop and applied for several of them. The high hopes I had started to come down when none of the places I applied to contacted me for even an interview. A few days had gone and still no luck. As I was surfing the web, my mailbox icon pulsed. I read the message. I need you to deliver a parcel for me. I rolled my eyes and exited the inbox. It was obviously spam. Another message dropped, and I opened it. It was a video. I played it, and my mouth dropped open. It was a video of me on the phone with Bailey as I worked on my laptop. The conversation just happened the day before. Chills ran down my body as I watched myself. How did this happen? The view looked like it was from my laptop camera. One way or the other, this person could record what I was doing with my laptop. I sent a reply and said I would deliver the parcel. My hands were shaking as I typed. I had never felt so violated in my life. I heard a knock on my door and went to see who was there. I opened the door and saw a package on the floor. A note was placed on it with a delivery address. I looked around but didn't see anyone that could have dropped it. I knew the package was the one I was supposed to deliver. I went back inside and placed it in my room. This person could have more incriminating videos of me. I decided to deliver the parcel. I looked up the address online and saw that it wasn't far from my place. The parcel was like a small envelope. It was sealed and I had no interest to know what was inside. When I got to the destination, I called the number on the note and told the person I was there. It was right beside the cafe at the end of the street. A guy in a hoodie came out and collected the parcel from me. I got to my apartment later and refused to put on my laptop. If the person could see me through the camera, I would not give them anything new to blackmail me with. A few days passed and I thought that would be the end of it. I was relieved, thinking it was a one-time thing. However, it was not to be. One night, a message came in from an unknown number on my phone, and my heart leapt in my throat, dreading the content. I opened it to see another message asking me to deliver a package. I typed no in capital letters and felt proud of myself. I didn't think the person could have anything incriminating on me. Then another message came in, a video. It was a video of me topless in front of my laptop. My face grew red with anger. I had no choice but to deliver the package. I agreed to it, and the parcel was dropped outside my door. The messages kept coming after that. The person would send a video first before asking me to send the parcel. I became the errand girl. In the midst of that, I was still searching for casting roles and had applied to a few. I got a call that I was going to be given a role in a movie that would show in the theaters. My excitement was dampened when I saw that I had a message to deliver yet another package that night. I sighed and went out with it. When I become rich and famous, anyone who dared to use me would pay for it.
Hands up! Put your hands where I can see them!
I froze, parcel still in my hand. I slowly brought up my hands and tears sprung to my eyes. The cops handcuffed me and took the parcel from my hand. The parcel contained drugs. I pleaded and told them that I was being blackmailed. There was no proof to vindicate me. The videos on my laptop looked like I recorded them myself. When the judge passed the 3-month jail sentence on me, I felt numb. Just when I was starting to think I could progress in my career, I was going to jail. I sometimes still shiver when I remember those 3 months. The time I spent behind bars was tough. The other ladies there were bullies. They liked to pick on me because I was the new delinquent. I had to learn to fight back. That was when they started to leave me alone. In my time in prison, I plotted revenge for whoever had set me up. On the day of my release, Sally, my only friend in jail, gave me numbers of her crew that she claimed would help me if I told them we were buddies. Sally still had a few months left before she got released, though. I called her friends and narrated my ordeal to them. When I told them about my plan, they were all too willing to help me out. They helped me track down the girl from Craigslist, and we found out where she lived. In the night, we went to the girl's house and dug holes in her yard. We planted packets of drugs inside the holes and covered them up nicely. The next morning, I put a call to the police telling them I wanted to report a crime. Sally's friends and I stayed nearby so we could watch the drama unfold. The shock on the girl's face when the police unearthed packets of drugs from her yard was priceless. They arrested her, and I was sure she would be looking at a few years in prison. I also knew that Sally would treat her really well.